The eagle ensign, Ezekiel 18. Okay, we're going to dilate this. The Holy Spirit has dilated this through the prophet Ezekiel. And the word of Adonai came to me. What does it mean that you keep quoting this proverb in the land of Israel, where when parents eat sour grapes, their children's teeth are set on edge? As I live, says Adonai Elohim, I swear that you will never again quote this proverb in Israel. Look, all lives belong to me. Both the parent's life and the child's life are equally mine. So it is the person who sins himself who must die. Consider someone who is righteous, who does what is lawful and right. He doesn't eat on the mountains or raise, places of idolatrous worship, high places, or raise his eyes towards the idols of the house of Israel. He doesn't defile his neighbor's wife or touch a woman during her time of menstrual impurity. He doesn't wrong anyone. He returns any pledged property a debtor has given as a collateral for a loan. He takes nothing by robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and clothing to those who need it. He neither demands nor accepts interest on a loan. He refrains from what is evil. And he judges honestly between one person and another. In short, he lives according to my laws and observes my rulings so as to act faithfully. This is the definition of the faithful. This is the definition in Ezekiel's temple of the Zadok priesthood, who during the time of apostasy are faithful and in the time to come are permitted to minister to the Lord in the Ezekiel temple, which is not yet fulfilled. There is a proverb that has been again and again on my heart in Proverbs 28. It says, He that by usury and unjust gain increases his substance, he shall gather for him that will pity the poor. He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. That's correct. This is how one is faithful, according to my laws and observes my ruling so as to act faithfully, to be the ambassador, the representative of the king who is about his business on this earth right now that the king sends. Verse 10, now suppose he is the father of a son who is a robber, a murderer, who does any of these things to a brother. Whereas the father himself does none of them. He eats on the mountains, he defiles his neighbor's wives, wrongs the poor and needy, takes by robbery, doesn't restore pledged property, raises his eyes towards the idol, engages in disgusting practices, demands and accepts interest. Should he live, he will not live. Because, Rothschilds, he has engaged in all these Federal Reserve, disgusting practices, IRS. He must be put to death. His blood is on him. United Nations. But now suppose he has a son who sees all the sins his father committed, thinks about them, and behaves differently. He doesn't eat on the mountains. He doesn't raise his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, defile his neighbor's wife, wrong others, keep pledged property, or take by robbery, but gives his food to the hungry and clothing to those in need of it. He refrains from oppressing the poor, and he neither demands nor accepts interest. He obeys my rulings and lives according to my laws. So he will not die for his father's sins, but will certainly live. Yet his father, because he oppressed so cruelly, committed robbery against his brother, and never did anything good among his people, he will die for his sins. Verse 19. You ask, why doesn't the son bear his father's guilt? When the son has done what is lawful and right and has kept all my laws and obeyed them, he will certainly live. The person who sins is the one that will die. A son is not to bear his father's guilt with him, nor is the Father to bear his Son's guilt with him. But the righteousness of the righteous will be his own, and the wickedness of the wicked will be his own. However, if the wicked person repents of all the sins he committed, keeps my laws, and does what is lawful and right, then he will certainly live. He will not die. None of the transgressions he has committed will be remembered against him. For the righteousness that he has done, he will live. Do I take any pleasure at all in having the wicked person die? Asked Adonai Elohim. Wouldn't I prefer that he turn from his ways and live? On the other hand, when the righteous person turns away from his righteousness and commits wickedness by acting in accordance with all the disgusting practices that the wicked person does, will he live? None of the righteous deeds he has done will be remembered. For the trespasses and sins he has committed, he will die. Verse 25, Ezekiel 18:25. Now you say, Adonai's way isn't fair. Listen. House of Israel, is it my way that is unfair or your ways that are unfair? When the righteous person turns away from his righteousness and commits wickedness, he will die for it. For the wickedness he commits, he will die. And when the wicked person turns away from all the wickedness he has committed and done what is lawful and right, he will save his life. Because he thinks it over and repents of all the transgressions he committed, he will certainly live, not die. Yet the house of Israel says Adonai's way isn't fair. House of Israel, is it my ways that are unfair or your ways that are unfair? Therefore, house of Israel, I will judge each of you according to his ways, says Adonai Elohim. Repent and turn yourselves away from all of your transgressions so that they will not be a stumbling block that brings guilt upon you. Throw far away from yourselves all your crimes that you committed, America the Eagle, and make yourself a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, House of Israel? I take no pleasure in the death of anyone who dies, says Adonai Elohim. So turn yourselves around and live. It is so straightforward. There is no point in elaborating on that. It is what it is. He doesn't say good is evil. And evil is good, like the judges of the land, and say black is white, white is black, and female is male, and male is female. Oh, now we're going to have androgyny. We have no sex. This is the new latest fad, evidently, in San Francisco. We no longer have any sort of sexual identification whatsoever, really. Why, how satanic? Why, how on Mount Hermon, how the gods of Pan and Benias, the Baphomet goat-headed god that has both male and female reproductive organs on it. And it's saying to God, it's God the Father, he created them male and female. It's, Lord, we don't recognize the Almighty, the Creator, our Father. And we say, we can create what we want, and we have the technology, and we can have knowledge, and we can live and not die, and it's the same old lie. Let's go to Matthew 24:21. Matthew 24:21. Actually, I'm going to do this in the next set.